Welcome to Ted Brower Show for January the 15th, 2016. Today is a special day for me. Number one, it is my wife's birthday. So everybody can call the office on Monday or today if she gets over to the office today and wish her happy birthday. I know a lot of you were talking to her yesterday while she was helping to fill in for Austin while he was on vacation for this week, and he'll be back on Tuesday with me. But the second reason I'm really excited about today is that Doug Hagen, one of my best friends and on my very short list of people that I trust 100%, is with me as a guest today on the Ted Brower Show. We'll be covering all types of news stories today. Plus, I also want to one more time talk about Sunday night from 7 to 8 on this very same network, very same phone number if you've dialed in. And if you want to listen to this show during the time of the show and not listen to it in the archives, you can listen to it at 605-475-8092. That's 605-475-8092. And the show, of course, is brought to you by healthmasters.com, which I believe we have some of the finest, highest quality supplements in the world. And we also have a free newsletter that you can call in and sign up for. It costs you absolutely nothing. And we'll give you up-to-date health tips. So without waiting any longer, let me bring my good friend, Doug. Doug, it's so good to have you with me today.
Hey, great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, I just loaded up on some purple sticks, and of course I have my multivitamins here ready to rock and roll. Let's go. Let's talk about what's important to the people out there. My goodness, there's so much going on.
Now, for those of you who don't know who Doug Hagman is, which on my show, I guarantee you everybody knows who Doug Hagman is. He has his own talk show in the evenings from 7 until 10 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, for 3 hours. And he's one of the top alternative news stations in the world today. I think he's second only to the Alex Jones programming, with millions of listeners per week. Huge, huge audience. So everybody stay tuned and make sure you listen to Doug on this very same satellite network tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 days a week. So I want to promote you on that too, Doug. But Doug, right now the Dow Jones is down another 433 points. The NASDAQ is down 143 points. Europe was down today. I'm looking it up. Europe was down 248 points on the DAX, and Asia was also down another 248 points in the Hang Seng, the Chinese market. Doug, how low is this market going to go? Do you have any idea?
You know what? I was talking with one of the financial experts that I know. His name is Ross Powell. He's got something called Survival 401k. And I had asked him. I said, you know, exactly what's going on? I mean, talk to me like I'm just an idiot, because I don't know what you know. Obviously, I don't know what people should know. Where's everything going here? And I guess there's a couple of things taking place concurrently. The oil. Let's talk about that first. The long and the short of it is, prior to the fall of the Soviet Union, and to facilitate the fall of the Soviet Union, we, American intelligence, American business interests, along with the government, as well as other Western countries, had salted the ruble, so to speak. They had inflated the ruble to the point where it just went bang. They took it down. So anyway, having said that, this is a proxy war, or a byproduct of the proxy war between the United States and Russia. So the we have to ask ourselves, who does the high oil prices or low oil prices hurt? When oil drops, who does it benefit? Who does it hurt? And vice versa. Well, low oil prices hurt Russia immensely, and the mechanics of it are important, but they're really not germane to the geopolitical discussion of this. So when the commodities index, where the commodities brokers for, this is how this is my terminology now, when the people who deal in oil, the big boys, the government, at the level of the government, when they are able to drill down the oil prices to the levels which we're seeing, and they're going to go lower, it's done by design, and it's done for a purpose, and that purpose is to assail the Russian economy. And it's right now we have a battle between the United States and Russia, between the East versus the West, and this is what we're seeing. This is as much of a shooting war. In some ways, this is even worse than a bullets and bombs war, because this will ultimately affect the people of Russia, the people of the Federation States, and it's a mess. So expect Russia in some way, shape, or form, and or their proxies to respond in kind, probably in the Middle East, because what we're seeing here is an asymmetrical war. I'm not sure if that made sense, but what we need to have, I mean, Russia can't, or most likely will not, come over here and drop bombs on us, and they're not going to invade the United States, you know, flat out like this. So they've got to do something to engage us elsewhere, and where that's going to be is probably going to be in Syria, perhaps Ukraine, but most likely in Syria or throughout the Middle East, and they're going to bleed us through the engagement of our troops and through the they're going to cause us militarily to spread out our military all over the place, along with China too. So this is by all means an asymmetrical warfare or asymmetrical war here that we're seeing.
Well, you know, Doug, that's interesting because that's pretty much what we did to the Soviet Union with Afghanistan by supplying the rebels there, the Mujahideen, all of the anti-aircraft missiles and all of the armaments we gave them, put Russia into a 10-year battle in Afghanistan, pretty much bankrupted the USSR. And they're kind of doing right. The same thing to us indirectly. But you know what's interesting to me is we have our joint ventures with the U.S. space program and the Russian space program now combined together with the International Space Station. And yet it seems though we're still operating as friends and with a mutual agreement in those types of endeavors. So this whole thing is very, very odd to me. It's almost as if there's an underlying motive of something else that's going on. And also, Russia has now stopped doing the chemtrail programming as far as what we can tell. And they're no longer spraying the skies as far as putting these different types of chemicals into the air. I'm going to be going into detail on that on Sunday night from 7 to 8 on my show. And we're going to be going into more detail on Morgellons disease and the different types of bacteria. They're actually using a cross-domain bacteria, which they've combined bacteria along with insects and fungi, and they've combined it together for a brand new life form, and they're actually spraying this junk on us, and that's causing the Morgellons. I'm going to go into detail on what you can do for your immune system because of this, because they've been spraying everybody. But Russia has stopped doing that. So I don't know what's going on, because I really believe that Russia has made a parting with us, like you say. There's some kind of something else going on, and now we're trying to punish them or to basically take down this Putin regime, this Putin presidency, and take over Russia, you know, because we already have a Rothschild-controlled central bank in that country. So I don't know, Doug. The whole thing is kind of like this obfuscated politics behind the scenes in which they're using the lower oil prices to kind of cripple Russia. But we also have the lowest ever Baltic Dry Index. It has plunged to a 394 as global trade grinds to a standstill. And there are so many ships now that are sitting idle. There are so many ships that are piling up. Hardly anybody's shipping anything anymore. It's almost as if we're right back in the throes of 2007, 2008, with the market starting to crash, the Baltic Dry Index drying up, and yet the Federal Reserve has spent tens of trillions of dollars on off-book balance sheets trying to hold up the market, and they're continuing to do that with their plunge protection team right now as we speak through the Treasury Department, but they're not having much results on it. What do you think is going to happen as far as to the United States with this dry Baltic index and the fact that we're running these huge deficits and the Federal Reserve seems to have run out of bullets now, Doug, to try to correct the economy?
Well, yeah, you know what? Great question. And I think people really this is such a complex subject because the theater of operation, you know, if you think back to World War II, you had various theaters of operation in the Pacific and then in Europe. But what we have today, we've got not only geographical theaters of operation, we've got economic theaters of operation as well, and they're all making different bedfellows in this war against one another. And there are proxies everywhere, proxies of Russia, proxies of the United States. But to answer your question directly with respect to the United States, as we, and this is how I've seen it based on my, or how I'm getting it based on my research and inquiries with people a heck of a lot smarter than me in the economic field, is that the United States, for example, we're going to enjoy, if that's the word, low oil prices, but we're going to be drowning in oil. We're going to enjoy a relative, hypo inflation, but it's going to be a slow rising inflation. Yet we are not going to be able to purchase the goods that we could purchase because of the what's going to be happening here is unlike oil, much of the manufactured merchandise, the things that we buy here are not going to really be available to us, okay? That's one scenario, and that's including and especially food, by the way. And food has been weaponized, especially in this economic market. Now, I don't want to seem like I'm babbling all over the place, but there's so many spheres, so many little sparks in this huge tinderbox of just dry tinder here, that any one of these ignitions could really ignite not just a domestic hyperinflation, ultimately, which would appear after this seemingly quiet period of hey, we have money, but we're not really able to buy much because we're not able to get our hands on the merchandise, the food, and what have you, because our supplies are not dwindling. You know, the case of the Thousand Mile Salad, for instance. They're bankrupting companies. They're bankrupting companies at the higher levels. In fact, one of my sources told me this. He said, think of it this way. What did the government do with respect to ammunition when they wanted to get the ammunition out, or when they wanted to enact gun control? They went after the ammunition. They bought up a lot of ammunition as part of a larger plan, and that made ammunition a little bit scarce, and it drove the prices up. Okay, so if you could find ammunition on the shelves, it would be cost prohibitive. Now, I don't want to be contradictory, but again, you've got multiple games in play here. You may not be able to buy food. Again, this is after a period of relative quiet. You may not be able to buy food because you might have the money, but you won't be able to buy it because of the scarcity. What they're doing is they're attacking the choke points for the food, for the various other commodities. And this is going to ultimately, with this multi-step process, will lead us into a period, into a time period of chaos, economic chaos, domestic unrest. And this will fuel a domestic unrest. I don't know if I made sense there, but again, you're looking at a chessboard with multiple levels. And not only that, the multiple levels are separated by feet, not, you know, by inches. So it's a little bit difficult to really tie everything together, but all of this is indeed tied together.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it wasn't until China and Russia and Brazil and these BRICS countries, I guess that would be Brazil, Russia, India, and China, decided they wanted to dump the petrodollar as our trading oil in their own currencies and start setting up their own SWIFT accounts and to bypass the Federal Reserve, that suddenly we start having all these weird things happening all over the planet. You know what's interesting? If you read the book, and I know you have, it's called Pawns in the Game by William Carr. It was written back in the 50s. He said that what happened in Europe with Hitler is that Hitler was part of some satanic group in order to basically subvert the world. They put him in power. And then he decided his satanic group was better than their satanic group. So he decided to break ranks with these guys and kind of do what he wanted to do on his own. And so they were both satanic groups running everything, but they had decided that, you know, they weren't going to work together. And so they decided to pretty much destroy Germany and destroy Hitler in the process. And see, that's what I see a lot of this is going on. There's so much evil in the world today, Doug. I mean, we've got Christians attacking Christians, you know, Christians attacking Muslims, Christians attacking everybody, people attacking Christians. I mean, it's nuts that we have become very uncivilized as a society. I was listening to a video this morning. And they said that nowadays it seems as though if you read anybody's YouTube channel or anything that anybody posts, you only have to go down 4 or 5 comments before the person's being attacked by somebody about something. And so we seem to have lost civility. And a lot of that has to do with the generated frequency that's in our atmosphere that's being used with Gwen Towers. And we're going to go into a lot of detail on this on Sunday night. And we're going to be talking about how they use the Morgellons, how they use the Gwen Towers, how they're using these radar domes, all these different types of broadcast things to change the frequency of the planet. It's going to be a very interesting show on Sunday night. But something is going on. We can all feel it. Now, do you think that Donald Trump has a snowball's chance in Florida on black asphalt at noon on a 100-degree day to do anything as far as winning this? Do you think they're going to broker a convention and do some dirty tricks on him with Karl Rove? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen with Trump?
Oh man, you know, yeah, I think that there's a huge problem. Karl Rove has not gone away in the back rooms, in the smoky back rooms of the political machinations of the Republican Party, the establishment of the Republican Party. And we're seeing that. A lot of that in public. It's really ugly. It's an ugly mess that's being created by the establishment Republicans for those people who are just adherent to simply politics. And you can see, everyone can see that. What I believe is, I still believe, Ted, that Jeb Bush, despite everything, is their darling, and they want Jeb Bush in the White House. He's got the family lineage of the bona fides. And I'm not sort of, I'm not exactly certain how they're going to accomplish that, or if they will be able to accomplish that, because, you know, even the best laid plans of the people in power, yeah, they have absolute power, but they don't necessarily want to, I mean, everything in due time and in the manner in which they want to apply that. But what I think is going to happen is I do believe that the Rovian politic machinery is going to make it so Donald Trump will be off the ballot in several key states, requiring him at that point to either run as an independent, or it would compel a brokered convention. But then what would a brokered convention, what would be the result of a brokered convention? Could that, you know, would that be ultimately the end of the Republican Party? Or would there be an offshoot to come out of the Republican Party, like a, a pseudo-conservative Christian wing of the Republican Party, we'll say. And even if that happens, and I would caution everyone, you know, Trump is saying everything that people are thinking, isn't he? I mean, he's got the, I mean, he really is out there saying, look, we can't afford the immigrants, let's call Islamic terrorism Islamic terrorism. He's saying everything people want to hear. But then again, so did Hitler during the pre-Nazi days in Germany. So, and I'm not comparing Trump to Hitler, please, you know, don't send me emails about that. I'm just saying that, you know, because I'm just saying, look, you know, right now, I don't believe that American, you know, our country is going to be saved by any one political person or political party. I think that we've transcended any hope for a political solution, and we need a spiritual, moral, resetting of our moral compass and our spiritual compass in order to prevail for anything. But I do believe that, since you brought this up, tied into our current domestic mess, both politically and economically, I do believe that as a Christian man, not as a minister, not as a pastor, I'm neither one of those, but just as a Christian man who reads his Bible and prays for wisdom, I truly believe, Ted, that we are under judgment right now, and we're seeing that judgment play out right before our very eyes. America, that is.
I agree with you 100%, Doug. In fact, what's interesting to me about this is I had another email come in from another guy who's also his name's Doug, and he told me the same thing you just told me, that they want Jeb Bush in there. Because remember, the Bush crime syndicate, which is what it is, starting with Prescott Bush's grandfather, then to Prescott Bush and trading with the Nazis and trying to do a hostile coup in 1933 with Smedley Butler against the United States, against Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to install a fascist regime in Washington, all the way to George Bush Senior being in the head of the CIA, and many people believe clearly involved in the Kennedy assassination, all the way up to his presidency with vice presidency with Ronald Reagan, in which after a month in the White House, Ronald Reagan gets shot and ends up basically, you know, not even being a viable president for the next 8 years. And then when George H. goes in, he basically runs it for another 4 years. He was president de facto for 8 years and four more on his own. And right. Then now you get George W. in there, and basically he's just a strange individual. But this power of the Bush crime cartel, the Bush crime family, the Bush CIA connections is so entwined in the Americana of today that I don't think that, you know, he has a chance on winning on his own, Doug. But they could force Trump to take take Jeb Bush as a vice presidential candidate. They could do that. And if they did that, they could, of course, do the same thing they did with Reagan, and they could assassinate Trump within 60 days in the White House, and then Jeb would be president. And there are many back doors into this. Now, God, I hope that never happens, but it already happened with Ronald Reagan, who survived the attack, you know, just literally a quarter inch away from his heart. So this whole thing with the MK Ultra program, which is a continuation of the horrible atrocities that occurred in the Nazi concentration camps, you know, this thing was carried out by a lot of people through Operation Paperclip, and the United States government was basically subverted by the Nazis through Operation Paperclip, and it's still so as far as I'm concerned. And so the sad part about all that, and Jim Mars in his latest book, he also agrees with that. Also his book, The Fourth Reich, he agrees with that. And the sad part about this is, Doug, is that the vast majority of the population, they're worried about what New Yorkers think, or what Cruz said to Donald Trump last night about, well, you know how New Yorkers are. They're not even looking at the whole world. They're looking at the obfuscation of what these political candidates are doing in court TV, like Rubio said last night, and the theater of that, of the politics in the United States, when there's so many other things that are being done to us right now, including the chemtrails, including HARP, including the stuff that's happening, you know, with our space-based platforms, all these crazy things that are happening that nobody knows about and nobody wants to talk about. So do you think they could put Jeb Bush, Doug, to ask you a question, do you think they could put Jeb Bush as the vice presidential candidate under Trump?
You know, interesting question, and I don't mean to drag the answer out very long, but I read a book, The Rockefeller Files. It was written during the same time Gary Allen, you know, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and other books of that same nature. And in that book was discussion, intellectual discussion about the, you know, the post-Watergate era here in America, where we saw Nelson Rockefeller unelected and Gerald Ford unelected. You know, Ford become president and Rockefeller vice president. So to answer your question, yes, they could. But given the lessons, and I mentioned all that to say this, given the lessons of the post-Watergate era, and we know that people don't remember or don't pay attention to history, even recent history, take a look at what happened back in the post-Watergate era. Yeah, I think they could. Will they? You know, I'm not sure they would at this point settle for that. I think that they would go for an all-or-nothing kind of approach, at least initially. And I, again, I say that based on the lessons that they had learned from the Watergate and immediately post-Watergate era. But I also think, too, that people now, because of the Internet, people because of books like None Dare Call It Conspiracy and other books that you'd mentioned, I think people are becoming a little bit more awake. What would cause, for example, a revolution? Do they want a revolution? Yeah, they want a revolution in this country. They want a civil war. But they want it at their time and on their terms. They don't want it to appear. I mean, they want to appear like they've got the moral high ground. When I say they, I'm talking about the power element behind the people, the faces in power inside the Beltway. So I think that they're somewhat in a quandary. And I could be wrong. This is just intellectual discussion here. But from everything I've read, everyone I've talked to, every interview I've done and all the research I've done, I really think that they are going to attempt to stage another coup, this time a silent coup, like they did with Kennedy. That was a political coup, also a very sinister occult situation. But having said that, I think that they're going to attempt to go for broke and to eliminate Trump. And when I say eliminate, I don't mean kill him. I mean take him out of the running completely, or at least neuter him to the extent where he cannot get on a ballot, or if the public, if there's such a public outcry that Trump would continue his lead unimpeded, yeah, perhaps they might take Plan B. But I would see that as a Plan B rather than a Plan A.
Well, you know, I hope they don't hurt him physically. That's what I hope. I don't hope he doesn't get poisoned like the one of the popes did back in the 70s. I hope he didn't get shot like Kennedy did, like Reagan did. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, those are just awful
oh, yeah,
scenarios to play out. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, we don't know what's going on. But I know one thing. The Donald, you know, he's really throwing some gravel in the spokes of this thing. He's really making these guys run around a little bit, it seems like, more than they wanted to as far as doing this new thing. The one thing that's really good, though, is that there's been a concerted effort, even with all eight people on the platform last night, to say that, you know, there's absolutely no way on God's green earth that Hillary Clinton can win the White House. Now, I know that this is another one of those deals that people are just saying, well, it's just more obfuscation. Well, the truth is, I don't know how in the world she can even be a legitimate candidate as far as the White House is concerned. and Barry Sanders, I mean, he's like a clown, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I don't even know what in the world's going on with him, why the Democratic Party couldn't muster anything better than this. But sadly, the Clinton machine is doing everything it possibly can. But they're even getting blowback. As many as 20% of the Democrats now, Doug, have said that they're going to cross party lines if Trump runs and they're going to vote for Trump. Because remember, Trump will carry New York. There's no way Trump won't carry New York. It's impossible.
Right.
Trump's going to carry Florida because of the people down in Miami that are from New York. So Florida and New York are done for Trump. There's a real high probability he's going to carry California with electoral votes. And if that's true, then that's pretty much it. Once you win those three major states in Texas, it's pretty much done as far as, you know, the smaller states and getting the majority that you need in order to win through the Electoral College, which is another one of these twisted things that we have to deal with, and then we can't just have a general election. But at least with the Electoral College, we don't have to worry about voter fraud. You know that. I mean, at least people can, you know, put vote who they want to vote in. But I don't know, Doug. The whole thing is very strange to me. And personally, if it comes down to voting for Donald Trump or voting for Hillary Clinton, I know I'm pulling the ballot for Trump. I'm not going to vote third party this time, which I normally do, because as a protest vote, because this time Hillary Clinton is so awful, we can't do a protest vote for her. It's going to be a nightmare.
Well, exactly. And looking at the situation, it's kind of the Chinese water torture with Hillary Clinton. And if you don't mind me asking you a question here, because you've done a lot of research, and I respect the research you've done on this. You had mentioned that you don't believe that Hillary could secure the nomination for the Democratic nomination. Sanders, of course, is a flat-out socialist, yet I see people embracing him. However, the crowds and the enthusiasm for Sanders is nowhere near it was for Clinton, even during her first run, you know, for the platform. So my question to you is, what happens with the Democrat? Who will be the Democratic nominee in your estimation?
And oh, I think that what I said. I'm sorry, Doug. I guess I must have said it too quickly. I have a difficult time believing that she's going to receive the Democratic nomination. That the Democrats are that stupid, and I should have qualified that. I believe she's going to get it because all of her crimes and all of the stuff that she's been involved in, and plus there's nobody else running from the Democratic side unless somebody steps in. So I think it's one of those deals. The Bilderberger group or whoever's running the planet now has decided who they want in the White House, and they may want Trump. I don't know. They may have decided they've got enough stuff on him and his background that once they get him in the office, they can control him. I don't know. But, you know, they thought the same thing with John F. Kennedy. And John F. Kennedy, when that P.T. boat got sunk underneath John F. Kennedy and he wrote Profiles in Courage, he had an epiphany. He changed his life. He got in there. He decided he had enough of all of it. He wanted to undo the UFO files. He wanted to get rid of the CIA. He wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to, you know, get rid of the war in Vietnam. I mean, he wanted to get rid of Operation Gladio. He wanted to stop all of this mess, and he ended up getting himself shot. So, you know, there's a possibility that Trump has had an epiphany and he really, really wants what's best for the United States. And if that's true, I guarantee you it's got these guys scared to death, because they don't know what to do with a billionaire who's out of their pocket and who's out of control. They don't know what to do with this guy. And that's obvious last night. I mean, he even looked at Jeb Bush last night and told Jeb Bush right to his face on the platform that he was weak. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement to say to a Bush. I mean, that's a pretty, Bush didn't know what to say. I mean, it was like, wow, you know, I don't even know how to deal with this guy. Because every time they tried to talk to him about immigration last night, Doug, and I don't know if you watched the debate or not, every time they tried to talk to him about immigration, about what he said about the Muslims, Trump just stood his ground. I mean, everybody's disagreeing, right, at least partially. Trump says, no, I'm still right. No, it's ridiculous. We can't do this. We have to get this thing sorted out before we let any more Muslims in the country. I haven't changed my mind. And no, I'm not going to change my statement. I mean, so he's standing firm. And then when Cruz took a shot at him last night about New Yorkers, I mean, Trump crucified him, brought up 9/11. I mean, God, I felt sorry for Cruz. I said, oh, man, boy, you blew that one, boy. So did you have a chance to watch the whole debate that last night, Doug?
No, I saw the highlights about 4 o'clock this morning, so I didn't see the whole debate. But I just watched the salient points of the debate. But the interesting thing, you and I spoke about Cruz and have talked about Cruz in the past. His wife, the relationship with the Council on Foreign Relations, which, you know, flies over into Cruz's arena, and I mean, this whole the entire political landscape is just sullied by all of this. by the global.
Well, and plus, last night they brought up the fact that he had gotten that loan from Goldman Sachs, which is one of the banks that owns the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, he got $1 million loan at an unbelievably low interest rate from Goldman Sachs. Well, if they gave him $1 million, Doug, they own the boy.
Of course.
That's just how it works.
Exactly.
You know, and so,
yeah.
So he, and he did not disclose that. Are you kidding me? Said he forgot. It was a paperwork error. Oh, I have this other $1 million loan that, oh yeah, I forgot this to put, oh, whatever. Nobody believed that. It wasn't a clerical error. He didn't want the people to know he was involved that deep in the Federal Reserve banking cartel. That's why he did what he did with that. You and I both know that.
Right. And isn't it interesting, Ted, that, you know, as we talk about this, and all eyes seem to be focused upon the election in 2016, the November 2016 election, the presidential election. As we maintain our focus on that, isn't it interesting that in the background we still have the Trans-Pacific Partnership that is raging behind the scenes, which has got serious implications for people like you and I on talk radio. It's got serious implications for trade. It's got serious implications for the First Amendment, for the Second Amendment. You know, no one is talking about this. No one is talking about the other issues, such as the gun control initiatives, which is nothing more than gun confiscation initiatives by Hussein Obama there with respect to the shootings and such. So, we're being set up, we're being gamed, and it's a Tavistockian-style gaming thing that's going on here. We're walking across that black and white checkered floor of mind control. And people, you know, they tend to roll their eyes over this, but everywhere we turn, we're seeing our psyches being manipulated. And as you mentioned, and this is something that I really have studied and researched, you know, the frequency modulation of frequencies to agitate, to get people off their game, to modify people's behavior. It's a real thing. And people are not, and I've noticed this too. People have lost their minds. I mean, really, people have lost their minds out there. They've become quick to anger, quick to judge without, you know, knowing the full story of anything. You know, the incivility in the political arena, the incivility, just go shopping, go out to a grocery store and accidentally bump someone's cart. Boy, I watch out because, you know, you're in for either a tongue lashing or a purse lashing or a, you know, hit on the head by a guy. I mean, this is a real thing. So I see this. It seems like there is a quickening, to borrow the title of Art Bell's book back in the 90s, a quickening of things taking place right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, Doug, this is a terrible story. You don't know this about me, but I'm gonna confess to something here on national radio. I was doing I was filling up my RV in Albuquerque, New Mexico a few years ago, and I remember I was washing the windshield because it was covered in bugs, and I didn't want to waste the water because it was pretty dry out there, so I kinked my water hose. I was at a Flying J. I kinked my water hose, and I stuck it under my front tire. And I was just sitting there washing the windshield, not wasting water, and a guy pulls up like in a Frito-Lay van and with a pickup truck, and he pulls up right beside the doggone tank, and he was pumping gas, and about that time, my water hose popped out by itself inadvertently. I didn't even touch it, and a little bit of water sprayed on a shoe. And I immediately apologized, and I said, you know, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't touch the hose. And he starts yelling and screaming at me. So I apologized again. And this just went on for, you know, 30, 40 seconds, and then he kept screaming, I apologize again. Finally, he started again, and I apologized again. And now, in the meantime, remember, I'm still washing the windshield, trying to clean this thing, trying to ignore this guy. Finally, he wouldn't quit, Doug. So I walked over to him, took the water hose, and I soaked him from head to toe on purpose. So this is a true story. Then he yells at me, goes, you've just sprayed water on me. I'm calling the police. And I said, well, whatever, man. Have fun with that. By the time the cops get here, I'm going to be long gone because, you know, I mean, whatever. But I soaked him from head to toe. And I looked at him and I said, if you're going to cuss me and scream at me and call me all these names in front of my family because of a water hose accident that I didn't even do, I said, at least now you're justified in yelling at me. And we drove away. Of course, we never heard anything else about it. It's been years ago. But the craziest thing, you're absolutely right. People have lost civility. They've lost the ability to be nice to people. They just go berserk for absolutely no reason. They don't listen to both sides of the story. They're quick to judge. And if you read the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, and it was done by Stubble, they said there's certain frequencies they can modulate through Gwen Towers, through the radar domes, through the cell towers, and it causes people to become very irritable and very upset. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a huge fight that broke out in a mall in Louisville, and there were 2,000 people involved in the fight. 2,000 people started fighting all at once in the mall for no reason. And see, to me, that was a beta test. And they know how to make you agitated. They know how to make you depressed. They know how to make you elated. They know how to give you instantaneous diarrhea. They can do all of that by hitting your body with frequency. And these are just the weapon systems they've developed that they've had in line for the last 30, 40 years. Because what happened is when Tesla uncovered all of this information and he started building all of this stuff and writing all of this stuff down and developing all these protocols and these plans, he opened up a whole new world of plasma physics that nobody was even aware of. And what happened is, now our military has gotten a hold of it, and that's the main reason they're doing the chemtrails, is to ionize the atmosphere to allow their weapons and their scalar weapons to work much more efficiently. And they're also doing it to do implants inside all of us, so we can be, all of us can be basically radio receivers and transmitters, so they'll know our location all of the time. So if you're worried about getting chipped in the United States, don't worry about it anymore. You're probably already chipped anyhow, because we've all been infected with this stuff. And I'm going to go into detail again on this stuff on the Sunday night from 7 to 8 and give you the entire layout. So if you don't believe any of this stuff, this is really right. This is true. Doug's called it right out. This frequency that they've learned how to do and to control emotions, it was originally done with bulls and with animals, in which they had put wire implants into their brains, hit them with a certain frequency pulse, and they could take a bull that was charging in an arena with a matador, make him lay down and take a nap by hitting him with the right radio frequency. Then they discovered they didn't have to have the wires in the brain. They could broadcast that same frequency into that bull and do the same thing. Same thing is true with plants. If you take certain seeds and you put them anywhere near, like a Wi-Fi tower or even the thing in your house, the Wi-Fi amplifiers that we have for the wireless in our home, put the seeds next to them, try to get them to germinate. Most cases, the seeds won't even germinate because the Wi-Fi changes the ability of the seeds to even germinate. And they're doing all these crazy things to us. But again, none of this was in the debate last night. And the only person that ever brought up the real thing about ISIS, about how the United States funded ISIS, how the United States trained ISIS, was Rand Paul. They didn't even let him go to the debate last night. Rand Paul is the only one who ever brings up about the Federal Reserve, about the national debt, about auditing the Fed. They don't even bring that up. And Ted Cruz, who co-sponsored the bill to audit the Fed last week, Doug, he didn't show up for the vote. And, of course, it failed in the Senate again. Because the right. Senate is being controlled by the Federal Reserve, because they control the purse strings of the Senate through the reelection campaigns, and of course through the CIA. So many people have so many bad things known about them in the government that they don't want to break the chain of thought of what they're told to do. They don't want to break the narrative. So there's something else going on that's bigger than any of us think about, and it has to do with the chemtrails, with the Morgellons, and everything else. They are literally terraforming the planet with the chemtrails, and they are literally changing our DNA through GMOs and through the use of frequency and through the use of the Morgellons. And we're going to go in detail on that on Sunday night, Doug. And, you know, I covered a lot of that on your show last month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The information, by the way, Ted, I should tell you this and tell the listeners this. The Morgellons episode that you did, the information that you imparted, that episode has just gone viral, and so many people need to really listen to that for the information that you brought forth. And you've helped so many people through that broadcast to help them understand what they're going through, either personally or seeing other people go through. And it's amazing to me that people are not recognizing Morgellons for exactly what it is, you know, its origins and where it came from. So I'm very anxious for your program this Sunday. It's going to be a great program, and I really appreciate you doing it, because it's just it's beyond the pale what's taking place. You know, one of the things, Ted, that I've been looking at as well. You know, people are looking at the New World Order. Those people who are awake and aware. The New World Order is built on a number of factors, and you know it used to be the dark horse of the New World Order is people would think it's communism or socialism, perhaps, or even fascism. And to some extent, I agree, all three are a part of that structure. But I think one overlooked aspect of what we're seeing take place right now, and of which everything that we've talked about is part of, including Morgellons, including the spring and all this, is really technocracy. What I mean by technocracy, I mean, this is an ideology that was really started back in the 30s and reintroduced by the Trilateral Commission, by its foundation back in 1973, as the new international economic order. It's now, people might know it today, for example, by the names like Agenda 21, Green Economy, Sustainable Development, Agenda 2030, you name it. But see, what we're witnessing is really an evolution of events and a quickening of events that we're not going to be able to see it if, for example, we're looking closely, like through a microscope. We need to, rather than do that, we need to be in a high altitude in order to look at the entire landscape in order to really understand what's going on. And, the trilaterals, for example, the CFR people, the secret societies, so-called secret societies, they're really behind everything that we're seeing. And I would just urge people, you know, because of time right now, but I would urge everyone to really understand that we're living such a huge lie. I mean, the lie is bigger than we don't even know we're living in a lie. And people are so entertained and hung up, and there's so much emotion going on right now, especially with the political ideological chasm that we see between the right and the left, the fictitious right-left paradigm. I said all that just to say, please take a look at the bigger picture, because everything that we're talking about, whether it's the oil prices or whether it's the domestic unrest, or regardless of the subject, it is an artifact, consequence, or deliberate policy of the globalists. And I think people understand that, but I'd urge everyone just to look at everything not as disparate events, but as part of a larger plan. I don't know. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, what's interesting, I'll take it further. I'll say, you know, your good friend and a person that I really respect. I don't know him, but I've listened to him for years. Is Steve Quayle, and also with Tom Horn, and they talk, and also Chuck Missler. And, you know, the one of the things that they really taught me a lot about was Genesis chapter 6, and the basically before Noah and the flood and the giants and the fallen angels breeding with women, creating Nephilim and Chimera. And what's interesting about all of this is that it says in the book of Genesis that these fallen angels were there before the flood and also after the flood. And what's interesting to me also is this. You know, we don't understand this long-term agenda that these globalists have. But when you watch the one episode, Brad Metzler, The Sphere of Destiny, you can watch it on YouTube for free. He goes back and he interviews a guy who worked for one of the globalists who had stolen the Sphere of Destiny. And he says, right to Brad Metzler, I don't think you understand this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, but these guys consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and Lucifer. And these guys are willing to die for what they believe. He goes, I'm not saying that you need to believe this or that I believe this, but they believe this. And that's what people need to understand. This agenda is not a 10-year or 20-year or 30-year plan, Doug. This is a 100-year plan, a 200-year plan. And again, these powers of darkness, you know, and Dr. Manthe said this in his one book. What was his name? He wrote The Brotherhood of Darkness. He just died last year. What was his name? It was
Dr. Monteith.
Monteith. He wrote the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. So if everybody will get that book, you can get that book for free online, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can also get Pawns in the Game by William Carr online for free. If you combine that with Jim Marr's book, The Fourth Reich, and you put a few of these different concepts together, and you start listening to Paul McGuire. He's got some great stuff on all these different stuff, and how we were founded in the United States by a group of Masonic leaders as the New Atlantis in 1776. I don't think it originally started off that way, but that's what they wanted it to turn into, because the Puritans first came over, you know, in 1400s, 1500s, to basically, and that, well, Columbus was in the 1400s, Puritans in the 1500s, 1600s, to get freedom of religion in the United, you know, from being basically persecuted in England. And the craziest thing about all of this is all that's been taken out of the history books. So I don't think the United States was originally founded for this, but it ended up being that in the 1700s. And sadly, Doug, this whole group is being run by darker powers, and they even admit to it. And the sad part about this is the vast majority of the population of the United States has no idea what's going on. And again, when you read that one book, Pawns in the Game, that's free, you get it a PDF download online, it says there were two groups of Satan worshipers, one was with Hitler and one with the other group. And sadly, we know that Hitler was able to contact these multidimensional beings, which I guess we would consider as the fallen angels. And I always tell my listeners, if you can't get your head around, you know, these different quote-unquote alien things they talk about on the History Channel, don't look at them as like aliens. Just look at them as fallen angels. I was talking to Chuck Missler. I was having lunch with him a few years ago, and we need to pray for him because he's getting old and he's getting very weak. But I was talking to him a few years ago, and he said that he told me, what's going on with these UFOs? He said, well, those are angels, fallen angels. And I said, well, Chuck, I said, I don't really understand that. I said, why do angels need a spaceship? And he looked at me and he goes, well, why do we think we can tell them what they're supposed to travel in? And, you know, and Doug, I never really thought about that. And so it gave me more clarity on this whole thing. So we have to get a handle around this about there's something else going on. We know that basically the CIA was founded in 1947 after Roswell. And we have to realize that there are a lot of things going on that we're not being told. This giant news blackout started in 1947. Until then, it really wasn't like that, except for some of the stuff that FDR did as far as precipitating World War II by doing his 8-point process as far as, you know, against the Japanese. But we found about that later. But some of this stuff is so top secret, Doug, that nobody wants to talk about it, and we can't just ignore it. So me, I always tell folks this. If you can't get your head around it, just look at it as a fallen angel. It goes back to Genesis chapter 6. If you can't understand Genesis chapter 6, there's plenty of stuff that's been done on Genesis chapter 6 that you can listen to and read, that Tom Horn has done, that Chuck Missler has done, and you can go back and you can listen to what they say, and you can start getting an understanding of the overall picture. Because this overall picture, Doug, is not happy-happy. And, of course, the book of Revelation is not happy-happy. But I believe that we can pray to God, and he will give us a reprieve for 40 or 50 years, and he can hold off the judgment. Because I really believe he can do that. I really believe that God can do anything he wants to do. But we as a nation have to humble ourselves, and we have to fall on our knees. We've got to bring Jesus Christ back into the center of everything, and God Almighty back into the center of everything. And we need to realize that if we don't do this, this once great nation of the United States is destined to go into the ash heap of the once war countries like the USSR and so many of the other countries over in Europe that don't even exist anymore, Doug.
Oh, man, it's going to be a really bumpy road here, regardless, over the next couple of years. You know, you said something here. I just wanted to comment on if I might. You know, people look to history books and look to the history documentaries. And over the last century or so, the theory of history or historical evidence, anything that falls outside of a pattern established by the American Historical Association or the major foundations with their grant-making power, it's been attacked or rejected. You know, and people think there's a basis for that, but there's no basis. It's not on the basis of any evidence presented, but on the basis of acceptability of the argument of the establishment historians, the Eastern liberal establishment. And a lot of people don't know this, but back in 1946, the Rockefeller Foundation allotted, I think, $140,000 or $139,000 for an official history of World War II, for example. And that was to avoid the debunking. That was to really avoid a repeat of debunking history books that embarrassed the establishment that happened after World War One. And people should look at that time period in history to see exactly what happened and how history was written after World War One, the Great War at that time, and to see how history was manipulated in the books. And then the other thing that you said too, which I'd like to comment on, 1947, interesting year considering the fact that right after Roswell, what happened there, and don't forget, during World War II, the Foo Fighters, that term by Allied aircraft pilots to describe UFOs, for example, the question was asked back in during that period of time: could they be perhaps the result of something the Nazis did, the Nazis occultists did, whether open a portal or conjure some sort of watcher technology or something to that effect? And it's a legitimate question.
Now, Doug, I'm going to address that particular question on the show on Sunday night, because I've done some more research on the chemtrails and how they can do that with the HARP system and the generated energy weapons. But go ahead.
Well, no, that's interesting because, as you had pointed out, after 1947, when the CIA was created, of course, during that period of time, and going up to that period of time, I mean, look at 1947 after Roswell, and you mentioned the book Day After Roswell, but after the incident at Roswell, the abductions of people rose in general. The occult of or the accounts of sexual encounters rose. You know, these perverse sexual encounters by so-called aliens, if you will, but there was also a concurrent technological explosion that took place. And Tom Horn asked the question, and others asked the question, is it possible? Has America, for example, been perhaps exchanging or providing access to our people, to our women, and I know how crazy this sounds, but nonetheless, for advanced knowledge and technologies, for example, much like the Book of Enoch explains, extra biblical book, but nonetheless historical account, is that possible? And are we not seeing right now the reestablishment, the rebuilding of this one world order through the United Nations and other such entities? But in particular, this resurgence of a Nimrod type figure, which would of course fit with the personage of the Antichrist, and I think that this is where we're at time wise today. And I think that, you know, every day that goes by, we get closer to the to that end day, and people need to understand the spiritual nature of the battle. People need to understand the psychological nature of the battle. So, you know, we can talk all day long about the politics, the different entertainment realms, and I think it's important that we should talk about it. However, again, we need that 35,000 foot view when we look at history, and especially current history as it relates to our meaning. You know, our human future, because as well, too, don't forget the transhumanist Kurzweil agenda and the transhumanism agenda that's taking place right now under the guise of, hey, we'll fix all of your medical problems and you'll live longer. You can be like gods, apotheosis type stuff. So that's what we're seeing.
Well, you're right. I covered all the Kurzweil and the Singularity Institute and Google and NASA, and how they're all on the same street out there in Silicon Valley, and how they're all tied together as far as through the defense departments on your show back in December. And if folks want to listen to that show, I won't be able to cover all that information on Sunday night because that was a 3-hour show I did with you. But again, oh, by the way, and the other thing too, Doug, what they're doing in the health arena, how they're trying to cover up all the natural treatment protocols. Because I know a couple of years ago you had a real bad problem with diabetes, and we were able to help you with that. We could put you on a healthy blood sugar protocol, which is available on my website now, and you were able to get your blood sugar down to a normal level.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's, obviously it's an oligarchy under which we're under right now. It's one big party, and you're not invited. You know, that's it.
I haven't got my invitation. But you're right, though, because the truth of the matter is, it's all about manipulating. It's all about the narrative. It's all about doing what they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it, and they don't care what you think, what I think, or what anybody thinks. They're going to do what they're going to do. And so you and I are just little insignificant specks in the game. Trump, on the other hand, is a giant problem. But before we run out of time, the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. That's HealthMasters.com. You can go to the website and you can pick up information on Health Masters. You can also order our free newsletter. It's 1-800-726-1834 or HealthMasters.com. But remember, Jesus Christ is still in charge. Prayer still changes things. I still believe that my God, you know, who sits on the most of the mind, but the most high God who sits in the heavenlies, is capable of changing all of this with just the flick of a finger or a thought. And I believe that we need to pray to God on an ongoing basis through Jesus Christ that He'll do this for us and He'll give us a reprieve, so to speak, Doug. And Doug, go ahead, you finish the show, and you got about 30 more seconds to talk, so you'll take it to close today, Doug. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being on today.
Well, Ted, thank you so very much for having me. Folks, the other thing I can say is we need to get on our knees, we need to pray, we need to ask for forgiveness, we need to repent. And before anything, I mean, that's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to pray to our Almighty God, and we have to recognize that we all have a position to play. Everyone is important, everyone can do something, and you're not alone. No one listening to this broadcast is alone. And we all have to work together toward the common goal of eternal salvation, for not only just for us, but for our neighbors and loved ones. So with that, I just want to say thank you so much for having me, and God bless.